This is a public news service daily newscast update for January the 12th. I'm Mike Clifford. The Trump administration today was ordered to stay the execution of the first female federal prisoner in 68 years.
Lisa Montgomery, who had been set to die today at a penitentiary in Terre Haute, could now get a competency hearing. However, the Trump administration is asking the U.S. Supreme Court to immediately overturn the stay before President-elect Joe Biden, who is against the death penalty, takes office. Montgomery was accused of strangling a pregnant woman and cutting the fetus out of her body in 2004. The baby survived. Montgomery's attorneys want her sentence commuted to life without parole. Jan Vogelsang is a clinical social worker hired by the defense. She says Montgomery suffers from extreme mental illness brought on by many years of torture and rape as a child.
It was clear to me that this woman had been a prisoner of war as a child. This was a POW story.
Montgomery allegedly was beaten and raped by her stepfather for many years, gang-raped and urinated on by his friends, and tormented by her mother before being married off at age 18 to her abusive stepbrother. I'm Suzanne Potter.
Original reporting for this story provided by Natalie Shire for Ms. Magazine.
White House Democrats moving forward on impeaching President Donald Trump, and a coalition of West Virginia lawmakers and civil rights groups are calling on state legislators there to also oust and disbarge Attorney General.
Attorney General Patrick Morrisey entered West Virginia into a federal lawsuit last month challenging election results in four swing states with large African-American populations, according to Ryan Frankenberry with the West Virginia Working Families Party. He says Morrisey also spurred on rioters in the nation's capital last week with robocalls that promoted false claims about the election.
Morrisey has betrayed his oath, our state and our nation over and over again by adding West Virginia to an unethical and un-American lawsuit aimed at disenfranchising minority voters. Patrick Morrisey is unfit to hold the highest law enforcement office in West Virginia.
Morrisey says the lawsuit was needed to consider unconstitutional actions that have occurred in the states during the 2020 elections. I'm Diane Bernard.
Meantime, the attack on the Capitol last week has shocked and angered many. Some in Arizona see its roots in extreme rhetoric of past state leaders. Sandra Solis is a community organizer with Arizona's Puente Human Rights Movement.
We've seen how these elected officials can actually cause more political tensions and cause more violence in our communities, and that their actions do have a bigger ripple and do have a bigger consequence.
Some of the rioters at the Capitol have been identified as Arizonans. This is PNS. Employees at Google are forming the Alphabet Workers Union, both to push their parent company toward greater social responsibility and ensure workers are treated fairly.
It's a rare occurrence in the technology industry, but Andrew Gaynor-Duwar, a software engineer at Google and a founding member of the union, says Alphabet workers have a history of workplace activism. In 2018, more than 20,000 Google employees staged a walkout for its parent company's handling of issues of sexual harassment. And just last month, roughly 2,000 Google employees signed a letter requesting transparency about the exit of Dr. Timnit Gebru from the company. She's an AI researcher who criticized Alphabet's lack of diversity.
We want to see Alphabet's leadership move towards more accountability. We want to see them take responsibility for what we've built and for its potential to both do really amazing things for people, but also to provide a space where really horrible things can spread and grow.
Gaynor-Duwar says the power of YouTube, an Alphabet subsidiary, was on display last week when a mob of Trump supporters stormed the U.S. Capitol. He says there's a sense among members that Alphabet has ample power but is no longer accountable to what their workers want. For Public News Service, I'm Lily Wolke.
Protests in Portland in response to George Floyd's killing drew national attention over the summer. Eric Tanoff reports, months later, Portlanders still are taking to the streets, and they're organizing.
Isabella Garcia with Yes Magazine details the movement, which she says relies on community groups and mutual aid services, a volunteer network of people supporting each other with whatever they need. While Floyd's death was the spark, Garcia says the protests have evolved, paying attention to things such as local law enforcement's budget and the role of the police union.
That continuous thought in how these protests were being executed, I think, is a pretty big
And finally, drug policy advocates say marijuana legislation must include dedicated community reinvestment. Andrea Sears has more from New York.
During his State of the State address on Monday, Governor Andrew Cuomo once again said legalization of marijuana for adult use is a priority for this year's legislative session. The governor has proposed offering licensing opportunities and assistance in communities of color that have been disproportionately impacted by drug enforcement for decades. But Melissa Moore, New York State Director of the Drug Policy Alliance, says legalization, which is expected to raise more than $300 million a year in tax revenue, must also include restitution.
Directing resources to the neighborhoods and the communities that were within the eye of the target of the drug war for so long.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, heard on great radio stations across the nation, and online at publicnewsservice.org.